Romans tonight, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We'll read starting verse number 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And tonight we'll take our text from verse number 5. "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." There's a saying that's supposed to be a curse, I think, but it says, "May you live in interesting times." And the meaning of that is that the reason that's a curse is, you know, non-interesting times are boring, but interesting times usually are chaotic and kind of wild. And that's the kind of times that we're living in. We're living in very interesting times. And everybody's got an opinion about what's going on in our world. And everybody's got an opinion on what's wrong, and everybody's got an opinion on how to fix it. Our gas went out yesterday, and the guy came out and looked at the gas line, and he came over to tell me that he found the problem, he's going to fix it. And he said, "I'd have you sign the order, but because of social distancing, you don't have to sign it." He said, "I'll just initial your name for you." And I said, "Well, that's all right." And he started laughing. He said, "Well, I guess social distancing's over now." He said, "The riots kind of killed the coronavirus, I think." And I said, "Yeah, it appears so. You can congregate now, I guess, with no problems." Well, then he just started telling me about his opinion about all the things that were going on. And, you know, everybody has an opinion about it. Everybody has an opinion about the virus, or about the riots, about the protests, about the police, about justice, about racism. Just, you know, everybody's got thoughts about that. And everybody has reasons for the way that they react, and reasons for the way they think about it. And that's kind of along the lines of what I'll be preaching about tonight is where does that come from? Where does that come from? I tell Crystal sometimes, I just joking, but I tell her that she'd be a lot happier if she quit asking why. And because she'll say, why did somebody do that? Or why would somebody act like that? And I said, well, just do like I do and just don't ask why. Because usually there's not a reason. And the reason that I just kind of kid with her is because even if they told you why they did things, we probably wouldn't understand it. And it wouldn't make sense to us why somebody does the things that they do. How can people live the way they live and think the way they think and do the things that they do, and you just look at it and you scratch your head and say, what are they thinking? Why would they do that? Why would a reasonable person act like that? Why would someone go and do these terrible things? Well, like I said, everybody's got an answer. But how much of what we read and what we hear is based upon worldly wisdom? How much of even the stuff that we agree with is based upon worldly wisdom? Where does this come from? Where do our actions come from? Where do our thoughts derive from? And tonight we're going to see a little bit of it, have a little bit of insight what the Bible says, ask that question, why? And you don't really have to ask why would a person do this or why would a person say this, because we kind of know why. We kind of know why people do bad things. We know why sinners sin. The Bible makes that clear to us. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. What we mind, minding things. That's what it says in verse number 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So Minding. What are we minding? And that's the message for tonight. So in the first verse, we see that those in Christ walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And, you know, that was the message where we had the grammar lesson. And I'm going to quiz you on the grammar lesson. But if you remember, that whole phrase wasn't telling us what you had to do in order to be saved. It was telling you who the people are who are in Christ and what they do. It was giving more information about those who are in Christ. So if you're in Christ, you walk after the Spirit. You're not in Christ because you walk after the Spirit, but because you are in Christ, you do walk after the Spirit. So our walk is characterized by the principles that we live by and the principles of our thinking, who we fellowship with, the way we live, and so forth. In other words, it's the things that we do. But in verse number 5, Paul goes even further in talking about our walk, but he talks about what we are. Now, our walk, what we do, and how we think, and the principles we live by, that's determined by who we are. It goes to our nature, not our actions. So our walk is really dependent upon our actions. But why we do those things is dependent upon who we are. Those who mind the things of the flesh do so because of who and what they are. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It's not that you're fleshly because you choose to be fleshly, but it is because of who you are that determines the way that you think. Your nature. Your nature determines these things. Those who mind the things of the flesh do so because they are after the flesh. That's who they are. You know, fish swim through the water because they are fish. That's what they do. That's what they are. It is their nature. Those who mind the things of the flesh do so because they're after the flesh. That's just who they are. So if you say, well, why would somebody do this? Because they're after the flesh. And they mind the things of the flesh. And so that's the answer. And on the other side of that, those who mind the things of the Spirit do so because of their new nature. They are in Christ. So those who mind the things of the Spirit do so because of their new nature. The reason the Spirit guides the principles we live by, and the reason the Spirit guides how we think and who we fellowship and the way we live, is because we are in Christ and the Spirit of God dwells within us. See, it's a change of nature. It's not because we walk after the Spirit that then the Lord is going to save us as a reward for that. No, it is because God has saved us, He has given us new life, and we are indwelt with the Spirit, that we mind the things of the Spirit. It's because of who we are now. So not only has Christ forgiven us and justified us and given us His righteousness, He's also changed us. We're not the same. We have a new nature now. We've been born again. We've been regenerated. We've been renewed. So that's what that first part of that, for they that are after the flesh. That talks about who we are. That talks about our being. That talks about our nature, who we are now. And so depending on who you are and what will determine what you're after and what you mind and what you think about. So those who are after the flesh are going to do fleshly things and think fleshly thoughts and have fleshly actions. But those who are after the Spirit are going to mind the things of the Spirit and walk in the ways of the Spirit. So if it goes to the nature, who we are. So what's it mean to mind something? So that's the next thing we want to look at. It says those who mind. Well, what's that mean? Those who mind the things of the flesh. And then it's inferred those who mind the things of the Spirit. What's that mean? We're going to look at a few passages of scriptures tonight, and it'll give us an idea of what that means. So let's look in Acts chapter 28 first. This word is translated a few different ways throughout the Bible. And we're going to look at some of the ways and give us an idea what it's talking about here. So Acts 28, 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem in the hands of the Romans, who, when they have examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was not constrained to appeal to Caesar, that not that I had aught to accuse of my nation. For this cause thereof have I called for you, to see you, to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came or showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now, they said in verse 22, Paul's on trial there, and they said, We want to know what you think. We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Now, they weren't wanting just a stream of conscience of everything that he was thinking about. They didn't want to know his opinion on taxation, and they didn't want to know his opinion on Caesar, and they didn't want to know his opinion on sailing or farming or anything such as that. What did they want to know? They wanted to know more about what Paul thought about Jesus Christ and the gospel. We've heard a lot of this sect, they said. We've heard a lot of this group. We've heard a lot of bad things about it. But we want to talk to somebody who actually believes it. Because we've only heard one side of this story. We've heard of the enemies of Jesus. And we've heard everybody talking bad about this, but we've not met a Christian until now. We've not talked to someone who actually believes this stuff. Now we want to know what you think. We want to know why you believe this. We want to know what would motivate someone to do what you're doing and to live the way that you live, right? So it wasn't they just wanted to know something that Paul knew that they didn't. It was more than information. They wanted to know why he believed, why he lived the way that he lived. See, they had already heard about Christianity from other people. It wasn't that. They wanted to talk to somebody who believed it so they could know what motivated him, what he felt, and what drove him to serve Christ. So that's the same way that thou thinkest. That's the same word that's translated mind in our text. So if we go back over to the right, back into Romans in chapter 12 and verse 3, we'll see another way it's translated. We'll still translate it think, but another example here. Chapter 12, verse number 3 says, For I say, though I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So Paul's not telling us here not to think about ourselves or to have thoughts about ourselves, but what's he thinking? What's he telling us here? Not to have high opinions of ourselves. Not to think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. So a proud man has a certain feeling about himself and his own powers and his abilities and who he is and what he can do. And that changes the way a person lives, doesn't it? The Bible says that God hates a proud look. It even changes the way you look. It changes the way you carry yourself. Having a higher opinion about yourself changes the way that you walk into a room. It changes the way that you talk to people and treat people, right? That the way that you think about yourself will change just about everything about you. Because somebody that thinks too lowly of themselves, and that happens too, people think too low of themselves, have a hard time, you know, just talking to people sometimes because they just can't communicate because of their low view of themselves. How we think will determines that, right? So it's not just thinking about ourselves, having something in our mind, but it's our belief. It's our that changes how we live and what we do is right and wrong. Well, over in chapter 14, Paul uses that word again in verse number 6. He that regardeth the day, so that's the word mind, it's translated regardeth in this verse. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks to God. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So what this is talking about is there were some people who were weak in the faith that regarded all the Old Testament Jewish holidays as still applicable. So they still wanted to keep the Passover, and they still wanted to refrain from eating unclean foods and such. And even though we were free to do so, some people's conscience wouldn't let them do that. They wouldn't eat the unclean food. And they were bothered by it. So even though they knew in their mind that they could eat it, still they were bothered by it. And they just couldn't bring themselves to do it. And Paul just says that they were weak in the faith. Why was that? Because they didn't completely understand it, and their life was being guided by how they regarded things. They regarded them based upon their old understanding of what was right and what was wrong. They were not regarding it based upon what the Lord Jesus had said and what the apostles had written of inspiration of God. They were regarding it through the old way of thinking. They made a judgment. They made a decision. And they said, well, I'm not going to eat this because I think it's wrong. Right? So they processed that. They regarded it through the filter of their conscience and their growing up and so forth. And they regarded something that was good as wrong. And there's one more we'll look at. 1 Corinthians 13, and verse number 11. And this one's translated understood. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. So that's our word there, understood. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, Paul's understanding of life is different as an old man than it was whenever he was a little boy. I don't think the same way about life now as I did whenever I was 5 years old. Do you think the same way about life today as you did whenever you were 5 years old? Or the things that you were scared of when you were 5 years old, are you still scared of those things? Are the most important things in your life when you were a little kid, are they the most important things now? I know whenever I was a kid, this had been the worst year of my life, because baseball would have been canceled and couldn't have listened to it on the radio, couldn't have played it. You know, that would have been the most tragic thing that ever happened. Well, you know, that doesn't bother me as much as it would have whenever I was a little kid, because I think about baseball differently now than I used to, and I think about life differently. There's more important things, more enduring things that have my concern than I did with as a kid. So that's what Paul was talking about. When he was a child, he thought like a child. And there's nothing wrong with thinking like a child if you are a child. That's not what I'm saying. But as you grow up, things change. And his understanding changed. And because his understanding changed, the way he lived his life changed. Right? So as you look at the world in a different way, your actions change, don't they? You know, you don't think the same way that you did when you were 5 years old, but I bet you don't act the same way either. And not just because of physical changes, but because you wouldn't want to act like a 5-year-old if you're not 5 years old, right? So the understanding changed the way he dealt with other people, the way he dealt with the Bible, the way he lived his life. So all these scriptures use that word mind. So it's not just something you think about. You know, you do think of it, but it's your understanding of something. It's the way you think about things. It's the way you feel about things. It's the way that you have opinions on the matter. It's the way that you regard things and make judgments about things. So everything that you do is based upon how you think about something. If you don't care anything about life and you don't care about anything about others, well, you're going to act in a certain way, aren't you? You're going to be very selfish. If you don't think there's a God, you're going to act a certain way. Because, why be a moral person if there is no God, right? Well, how you think and how you understand the world, how you understand yourself, how you mind things is going to impact what you do. So, who we are determines how we think about things. And how we think about things determines what we do about things, right? So, how you think about things will guide your actions. But why do we think the way that we think? Why do we have the opinions the way that we do? Well, that's what this verse tells us. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So that's what it means to mind the flesh. What you think about, the way you think about things, the way you feel about things, the way you do things is based upon who you are. Sometimes flesh in the scripture is talking about flesh and blood, the body that we have, the skin and bones. And there's nothing sinful about a human body, because you're going to have a human body throughout all eternity. We're going to be resurrected and we're going to have a human body. Now, it's going to be a glorified body, but we're still going to have a body. There's nothing sinful about flesh and blood because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus had flesh and blood. The old heretics thought that everything natural and physical was evil, but that's not true. God made Adam and Eve, and he said it was good. So flesh, this creation, the physical is not evil. And that's not what it's talking about here. The flesh, in this regard, is talking about the old nature. Not what God created, but what Adam gave us. God created Adam, and then he made Eve out of Adam, and he declared it good. But then when Adam sinned, as we study in chapter number 5, death came and the curse came. And that's why there's difficulty in childbirth. And that's why work is hard. And that's why we get sick. And that's why our bodies break down. And that's why we get old. And that's why we get arthritis and on and on and on, because of the curse that has been brought upon mankind. So what this is regarding to is not necessarily the skin and bones, but it's talking about the carnal nature, the sinful nature that we have. That's worldly, that's fleshliness. And to be worldly and to think and act based upon a corrupt carnal man. So now we have these bodies. And in these bodies, in this body of death, there dwelleth no good thing because of the curse, right? So our sinful bodies that we have, they must die. And that's why when we're resurrected, we have a glorified body, because we're just contaminated from head to toe. So it's not necessarily the fact that we have flesh that's the problem. It's the corruption of sin. It's the total depravity from head to toe. That everything about us, our mind and our hearts and our spirit, it is all corrupted. And that is the flesh, according to Scripture. And so what we have here is, because of who we are, the natural man, we mind the things of the flesh, because we're after the flesh. We think about the things of the old nature and do things from the old nature, because that's who we are without Christ. Now, notice this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Here's some more examples of how this word is used and how Jesus used it, in fact. And this will illustrate it, what it is to mind the things of the flesh. So Matthew 16, verse 21 says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how they must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." So Jesus was telling them divine truth. He is revealing truth about the Old Testament scriptures. He was opening up those ancient mysteries that was being uncovered right before their very eyes. What was Peter's response to that? Look in verse 22. "And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.'" What did Peter do? He rebuked Jesus. In fact, he denied the truth. He questioned the Bible. He questioned the scriptures. He objected to the eternal covenant of redemption. And he stood opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and said, in essence, "Lamb of God, I stand opposed to your work as offering yourself as the sin sacrifice." In verse 23, he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest," that's our word there, "thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter was a stumbling block, an offense to Christ. He was doing the work of Satan. He opposed the gospel. Now, it wasn't Peter's intention to be an offense to Christ. In Peter's mind, he was doing a good thing. In Peter's mind, now you can understand that, right? Peter loves Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm about to die, and wicked men are going to take me into their custody. Peter, being a red-blooded man, says, I'm not going to let that happen. You are my friend. You are my Lord. And I'll fight to the death for you. We can understand that, right? Peter was doing what he thought was the right thing to do. He had the best of intentions. And if we think about it, we might even say it was reasonable for him to say that. Or was it? Was it reasonable? See, it's reasonable only if our thinking, if we were thinking after the flesh and minding the things of the flesh. Because had Peter been minding the things of the Spirit on this occasion, he would have thought, Christ has just revealed unto me truth. He would have thought of the significance of what Jesus was saying according to the Old Testament, according to the prophecies, what he was about to do. No, Peter was minding the things of the flesh. And see, no matter how good our intentions are, and no matter how reasonable it might seem, and no matter how good it might look from the outside, if our thoughts and our actions are not regulated by the Holy Scripture, we are minding the things of the flesh. Even with this good intention, and no doubt he wasn't trying to do harm, but because his actions were not according to the law of God, he was minding the things of the flesh. Let's look at one more just along these lines in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to bring these out to show you that, you know, we sometimes think that those who mind the things of the flesh are living immoral lives of great sin and iniquity. But oftentimes those who are minding the things of the flesh are very religious. Peter was a very religious man, minding the things of the flesh. Philippians 3:18. "For many walk," right? That's from Romans 8:1, right? They're walking. "For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are of the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Here's more religious men. They were preachers. They were churchgoers, whose end was destruction. Their God was their belly, their fleshly appetites. They gloried in their shame. And what was the center of all this? Their earthly thinking. They thought about, lived for, right? Look what they did. Their end was destruction. Their God was their belly, their flesh, their body, their appetites. That was their God. That's what they loved most. Their glory was the shame in what they did. They gloried in the sin that they committed. And what was their thought process? What was the guiding principle of their life? Well, earthly things. They minded earthly things. And they thought earthly thoughts, and they did earthly thoughts. Their end was destruction. Why? Because they were in the flesh and not in Christ. That's what it is to mind the flesh. It is to live according to this old nature and to be guided by the old nature and to feed the old nature and to worship in the old nature and to have our hearts and our religious activities and our thoughts guided by the old nature. Just to go back to Peter for a second, it's a very, the reason I said it was reasonable because, you know, what if your best friend in the world was being attacked? Wouldn't you want to stand up for him? Wouldn't you want to defend him? Well, I should hope that we would. But there's more to that story than just protecting your friend. Because Jesus had just told him why it was going to happen. And he had been telling them before that why it was going to happen. But he wasn't thinking in terms of Scripture, and he wasn't thinking in terms of the Word of God. He was thinking in terms of the flesh and vindication, and he was going to protect Jesus. He was, even though it looked good from a religious man, he was still minding, living by, thinking by, about the old life, the old nature. Well, what is it to mind the Spirit? Well, our thinking, the way that we think, the way that we go about doing things, the way that we feel, is based upon the new nature. A Spirit-led, Spirit-indwelt people. So, we have the new nature. And because we are no longer in the flesh, we are in Christ. We are in the Spirit. And because we have that new nature, therefore, we think and mind the things of Christ and the things of the Spirit. Because of who we are, because of who God has made us. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, Paul tells us in Philippians. Right? The mind of Christ is to be in us. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a very famous passage of Scripture. Starting in verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not yet the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak with the wisdom of God. So there's two different ways of thinking. The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the princes, the wisdom of the leadership of the world. And then on the other side, you got the wisdom of God, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they'd known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So here's a wisdom that the world just doesn't know. There is a wisdom that our leaders don't know about. There is a wisdom that the people on TV who have opinion shows and give opinions and tell you what they think about things, there's a wisdom that most of them don't know. That they don't know anything about. In verse number 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So, these eternal truths don't come from us naturally. I haven't seen them, and ear hasn't heard them, or it doesn't come into the heart of man. Now, a lot of people will use this verse and talk about the things of heaven, but that's not what it's talking about. Because look, in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Indeed, I have not revealed them, but if you're in the Spirit, it's been revealed to you. Ear hasn't heard it, but if you're in the Spirit, you've heard it. Because God has revealed it by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received this, not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. We have the Spirit that we might know these hidden mysteries, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, the words of the Spirit, teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The same reason you can look at somebody and say, how in the world can people live like that? You know what? Whenever all this was going on, here a couple weeks, and people could look at us, and they might look over here and say, well, how in the world are those people still going to church? Or how these people live in the way that they're living? I don't understand those people. I don't understand those Christians. They don't understand us either, because the things of the Spirit are foolishness. It's because of who they are and because of who we are. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. To mind the things of the Spirit is to have the mind of Christ, and to think like Christ, and to follow Christ. Now, how are we going to do that? How are you going to have the mind of Christ? How are you going to know what God thinks about something? Well, didn't he just tell us we have received this wisdom of God? The wisdom, not man's words, but which the Spirit teacheth. The Spirit's words, this Bible. We have the mind of Christ. And to mind the things of the Spirit is not to live in some kind of fuzzy, mystical realm where you just sort of feel your way through life and guess. And no, you have the mind of Christ in this Bible. And those who are in the Spirit will mind the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? The Holy Ghost, the things the Holy Ghost teaches, it tells us there in verse 13 of this passage. According to the word of God. So rather than minding earthly things and having our belly as our God, we, as Paul says in Colossians 3:2, set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. That our hearts and our minds and our affections are on eternal things, not on our bellies, not on the wisdom of the world. But our whole life is guided and directed and fashioned in a way in which the Spirit of God directs us. And we have the mind of Christ because we have his mind revealed to us. That's what it says there in our text. No man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God no man knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I can't tell you what the Lord is thinking unless he tells me what he's thinking. And guess what? He has told us what he thinks about things. He has told us the way to walk and the way to live. And so, we who are in the Spirit have the Spirit of God in us. And the Spirit of God teaches us and guides us and leads us. And then, therefore, we mind the things of the Spirit. Our minds have been changed, our affections, our hearts, the way we live has been changed. When people are in the streets, burning down buildings, stealing and looting, now, they're not expressing concerns about justice, and they're not protesting. They're not misguided youths. they're not merely just pawns of communist overlords, though they probably are, but it's more than that, isn't it? You know what they are? They're fleshly and they're carnally minded. That's the answer to the why. Why would someone go and burn down a building in their own neighborhood? Because they're fleshly and carnally minded. And they mind the things of the flesh. Why would someone go and hijack a perfectly reasonable protest in order to go steal $500 purses and shoes? And I saw somebody walking down the street with a cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory. You know, just ridiculous things. Why would someone do that? Because they are fleshly minded and they mind the things of the flesh. That's the answer. And that's the most reasonable answer you're ever going to get, why people do things. But that's also why there are bad cops who use their power to bully people at best and kill people at worst. That's why there are anarchists who hijack and blow up buildings and murder people in the streets and throw bricks through buildings and so forth. That's why. That's why there are politicians who are thinking about how they can use this crisis for their own advantage. That's why there are self-righteous people who are trying to stir up people's hatred and try to cause further division. You know why? Because they mind the things of the flesh. It's a corrupt heart who sees an opportunity to indulge in whatever their corrupt heart wants to indulge in. And those who are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Sinners sin because that's what they are. They're sinners. That's what they do. So that's why they do these terrible things, because that's their nature. They're sinners and they do sinful things. But for us, we who are in Christ mind the things of the Spirit. So when we look out into the world, we can look beyond what the news media tells us these things, and we can, you know what we can see? We can see sinners. We can see men and women in the flesh doing the things according to the flesh. And you and I know what the answer to that problem is, don't we? Because we've been delivered from that problem. The answer is not more money for this program and that program. The answer is the only answer. The only way this country will have peace is through the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the way you and I had peace. That's why we don't mind the things of the flesh any longer. Not because somebody convinced us or because we decided to turn a new leaf. It's because God changed us. He made us. After His, He gave us life in the Spirit. We were born again. We were regenerated. Therefore, we mind the things of the Spirit. That is the answer. The gospel of Christ is the answer. It changed me. It changed you. And if you're not in Christ, the Lord can change you too. Through faith in His Son, you can have your sins forgiven and be given life and life eternal. Why do sinners sin? Well, because they are sinners. Why do the children of God mind the things of the Spirit? Because we are in Christ. Because we've been changed. That's who we are. Well, God help us to be reminded of who we are and how we think, and not let the world influence how we think and how we react to things, but be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit.